tonight. And there's something that we want you to hear and to tag in about this time of the year. And I want her to come. Yeah, you. God bless my bride.
Can you put that picture up, Sister Nina? I think sometimes we get comfortable with the Christmas story and we don't realize the significance of the different things in the word of the Lord we hear. I don't know if you can even see that. Matthew 2 talks about the Magi. There were more Magi who came. We always hear there were three, you know, the three wise men that came to the stable and blah, blah, blah. We hear those things and that's just part of what we do. But I read an article and I wanted to share it with you because it was pretty impressive to me. Then I heard something else today. I didn't even tell Pastor. It'll be okay. It's the truth, okay? So remember when Daniel was in Babylon about 600 years-ish before Jesus was born, after he the lions, the whole nine yards, the Bible says he was put in charge over, guess who? The Magi. That's what the Bible says. He was put in charge over the Magi. And I went, okay. You know what he did? He taught them the prophecies. He taught them the word of the Lord. So somewhere along the way, within this whole time, there was something that kept up from great, great, great grandpa here. And he taught them about the Messiah coming. So when they saw the star and when they heard something different, it was probably a foreign story to them. They had been taught this 600 years before. So never doubt where you are. Because who knows what the Lord has in mind for you for tomorrow. What you do today is definitely in part of God's plan for a future you may not even be a part of, but he has a plan. So I'm going to read this to you. We often imagine the Magi kneeling beside a wooden manger on the night Jesus was born, gold, frankincense, and myrrh laid beside shepherds and animals. It's a familiar and a beautiful image, but it is not that close to what happened according to scriptures. In Matthew's gospel, it has some details, and those details quietly tell a different story. Matthew 2 and 11 says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. Not a stable, not a manger, a house. The Magi didn't come from nearby fields with the shepherds. They were very learned men, like scholars or astrologers slash priests from the east, maybe Persia or Babylon. Their journey would have taken months, more than likely 1 or 2 years, depending on distance, travel, conditions, political realities of their world. Matthew tells us something else that is often overlooked. It says, Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. Herod's response reveals that the star wasn't new. It had appeared long before the Magi ever arrived in Judea. This explained Herod's command to kill all the male children in Bethlehem and in that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Herod didn't make a wild guess. He calculated. So at the point when the wise men beheld our Savior, he wasn't a babe in a manger. The Bible says he is called a young child, not a baby. Mary and Joseph were no longer sheltering temporarily, but living in a house. Time had passed. This is the part that kind of sunk in with me. God didn't hurry up the Magi to go do something. The sign was given, but the journey required some things of them. It required endurance, interpretation, sacrifice, risk. They crossed borders, entered hostile political spaces, even stood before a very paranoid king. They followed revelation slowly, faithfully, and at a great cost. Matthew says, when they saw him, they fell down and worshiped. Not because he looked powerful, not because he was impressive, but because they recognized who he was. There's something deeply theological here. The first recorded worshipers of the Messiah were Gentiles, outsiders, foreigners, men who didn't have the law or the prophets in full, but they responded to the light that they were shown. They traveled years for a glimpse, one time. The Magi crossed deserts and empires to find Christ. They searched the skies. They studied signs. They risked their lives for one encounter. While we, who we are invited to meet him daily, We have scripture in our language. We have prayer without distance. We have access without danger. And yet we still sometimes have the audacity to say we are too busy, too tired, too distracted, too occupied. The Magi remind us that Jesus is worth the journey, no matter the cost. And they quietly confront us with a very sobering question. If they traveled years to worship him once, what excuse do we have for neglecting him when he is always near? We don't have to read the stars or travel far for a long time anymore. The Messiah has already been found. The question is no longer how far must we travel, but why do we hesitate to come?
Can I get some help? Amen. I want to go to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter tonight. Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. And I know you have your Bibles. We want to go there. This precious, familiar verse that we often hear. We want to just open the word of the Lord tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5 is where we want to take you. And the scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." You may be seated. Amen. I want you to understand what this means. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And him only shall you serve, and you should love him with all thy heart, all thy might, all thy being. And I want you to observe this tonight. I have something that I want you to just put your seatbelt on and look at tonight.
Better than you or is an authority over you. So in the Bible, if you want to say, hears, but they're not listening. The Israelites, of course, could hear just fine, but they weren't actually listening, or else they would act differently. And so in the end, listening in the Bible is about giving respect to the one speaking to you and doing what they say. Real listening takes effort and action, and that's the Hebrew word shema.
So tonight, isn't it beautiful to understand that we just don't hear, but and we just don't respond, but that word also means to treasure, to treasure. Tonight, I want to just talk to us about some things, and I want to talk to you about that appreciation for the things of God. And if I could title this tonight, it's something that will matter today. And you'll notice that God here didn't say just hear and move on, but he said hear and let it live in your hearts. Tonight I want to ask you, what do you do with gifts? Does this look familiar to you? That kind of looks like the Cross White House last year. I mean, it did. I mean, my grandkids, my kids, everything else, and this is not my grandson, but I mean, just almost like what my grandkid would do. And it kind of looked like our living room. But let me just talk to you. What do you do with gifts? What do you do with things that are given to you? The scripture begins to talk to us, even to the book of Luke. For who much is given, much is required. And instantly in America, Heather's found this out, that we are blessed with abundance. We're blessed with so much. And there is things that we have that God has blessed us with in America that we take advantage of. At Napoli's, here at the Italian restaurant in Nacogdoches, there's one of the twin boys that works there. And his name is T. We call him T. T sat across from Sister Crosswhite one day. And he went to high school here and graduated in Nacogdoches High School. And T said, with tears in the corner of his eyes, he's very passionate about this. He said, Americans don't realize what they have here. We don't realize what they have. And this is the word that he told Sister Crosswhite. He said, they need to kiss the ground where they're living and realize how great we have it. And I want to tell you, of all the millions and billions or how many ever people on the face of the earth, we are blessed that God chose us, that God is enlightening our eyes, that we could know the power of God's presence. But is it like just like this little boy? Maybe grandma gave him a gift, but he's playing with the box. And he gets in the box, and the gift doesn't matter to him. The fun of the moment, all the paper, all the shredded stuff. I love to watch my precious bride when she opens a gift that is wrapped. Now, I grew up in a house full of boys, and when it came time for us to open our gifts, I mean, it was a tear. I mean, everything went every direction. But how beautiful to watch my wife when I married her, whenever I would give her a gift or she received a gift, she was very careful, very careful. We tore into it, but she is very careful. She looks for where it's taped together and she starts undoing it. And it's almost like she could reuse the wrapping paper. But let me say this. Let me say this with admiration. She stops and she's very careful and she's very appreciative when something is given to her. And she'll look at it and she admires it versus just tearing it up and boom. You seeing those people in life that just tear through things and then it's like they just discard it and they go for the next gift and they tear it up and before you know it, it's all these piles of gifts and things are not really even looked at and they're not even appreciated. And I want to just talk to us about the culture of our abundance, the plenitude that we have, that even whenever Brother Larry Booker in one of his books, and I've heard him say it personally, Brother Booker made a statement that years ago, this is years ago in California, He observed at the border fence, the border wall there. He observed a national from Mexico looking through the webbing of the fence into America. That's years ago, y'all. And he began to notice that man was just dreaming. As he looked into the land of plenty and the home of the free and the abundance of that area of California. And he said, but I never seen anybody from America go to the fence, Brother Tommy, and stick their nose through it and look at the desert, nothing of Mexico, desiring to go there. Because all it was just a difference that a line made. Are you thankful that God has given you the gift that you can know a greater way in Him? He has separated the darkness out of your life and the desolation that you could know the fullness of God. But you think about it, just like that little girl that gets a gift and it's like, oh, and she puts it aside and she forgets that she even has it and she plays with the box. Or the moment it's just, whoo, wow, I got another gift, and she goes for the next one. We never stop to realize and are grateful for what we have in the now. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Right now, you're gifted with a day, with life. And I make this many times. I've tell this story to get people to think about the treasuring of your life today. And I've used it in church, and I'm going to use it again today just to bring an emphasis to what I'm saying. A lady went to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have 6 months to live. And she fell apart in the doctor's office, began to scream and cry and throw a fit, and the doctor had to sit her down. He said, sit down now. That's not what I told you. I didn't say you had 6 months to die. If you had six, you leave here with 6 months to die, you won't make it in 6 months. He said, I said you had 6 months to live. And if you walk out of here and cherish and treasure every day that you have, your days are going to, and if you die in 6 months, you could die with peace and happiness and contentment. I want to tell us today, Jesus didn't come to bring destruction. Jesus came to bring life. And the Lord wants us to enjoy His relationship that He has with us. How you're living. If you live like you're just passing through this world without a hope, you're going to find yourself just living full of, with problems. Things are going to influence you. Things are going to hurt you. Things are going to bother you. But if you cherish every step of the way of your life, you're going to find that there's a preciousness. I want to be grateful for what God has given me. And tonight, in spite of all the aftermath of the hour that we're in, you know that pressure to have more, to get more, to be bigger, to be better, to be faster, and to have more things. And there's a pressure in our world today, and that pressure's all around us. And we could wrap gifts beautifully, stack them high, create a big moment of excitement. You've seen that. Paper everywhere, boxes piled up, toys barely touched, children playing in the boxes. The thrill was in the unwrapping and not the receiving. And in a chaos, something meaningful gets discarded, misplaced, or laid aside. The giving, whoever bought it, was sincere. And the intention was good, but the purpose was lost. And that raises a spiritual question. What do you do with the gifts that are given to you once you receive them? The problem is rarely the gift. The problem is the receiving. God is the giver. The scripture says He gives good gifts. Everybody say good gifts. The issue has never been God's generosity. The issue is how we receive. Do we receive with gratitude and entitlement, with reverence, or is it routine? With stewardship or consumption, what do you do with the gifts? Hey, we're surrounded by blessings. There's freedom, provisions, truth, access to God. But yet familiarity is dulled by our lack of appreciation. And we have so much that we could take for granted that we live in the middle of. You could possess something valuable and still fail to value it. Let me just talk to us tonight. The same with God and with worship. You could come to church and you could go through the motions. You could go through what we call the Pentecostal calisthenics. And Joey, it's funny coming to Pentecostal church. Man, what are they doing? Refereeing. Touchdown. No. I mean, it's different. There should be a purpose in our worship. When it becomes something that we just do because we just do it, we'll lose the emphasis. I'm thankful that when I raise my hands to God in church, it's a sense of sincerity and reverence to God, that I'm reaching to God with honor, praise, adoration, and thanksgiving. We do more than, you know, we've noticed that there is a pattern and a culture that is happening in Pentecost that is sweeping us away from emphasis and sincerity and true worship. Just as soon as the music ends, a lot of people, they end. I mean, they got to have some kind of form of entertainment. I'm afraid that in our hour, we're missing the emphasis of the real gift and opportunity that God has given us. You think with me. We went to a youth camp this year, and some of went. Sister Nina was there. Sister Coley was there. Alexa was there. Keenan went. Different ones went with us. And one of the things Brother Austin Garrett began to emphasize, he said, we've got to the place after every song we start clapping our hands. And he said, even when the preacher's preaching, we kind of clap in our hands. And it's almost like we're applauding the man. Or applauding the singers and the musicians and applauding the song. And he said, you know, God's not wanting a golfer's clap. God is not wanting the applause to man and for what man's doing. God is wanting connection and reverence and honor. And it's more important that we lift our voice and lift our hands to God in worship than if we start clapping our hands after every song. We find that so many times we get in the rut of routine. We tear the package off real quick and we forget to receive what God is trying to give us. We don't hear the song. We hear the jam of the beat and the jam of the song, and we miss the message and the spirit of the message that God is trying to emphasize to us. I'm thankful today. A while ago, we sang that song, Sister Coley, you did a good job, where we trust in God, our Savior. Oh, it's a gift of God tonight that we, amen, have an opportunity today to stop and worship and trust God. Amen. Have you ever been in a storm in your life? Have you ever been a chaotic moment in your life? Can you imagine the disciples of Jesus Christ in a boat? And it was a stormy situation, a chaotic situation. And most of these disciples, guess what their job, many of them, the majority of them were fishers. They were very acquainted with the storms of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee really wasn't a saltwater sea. It was a freshwater body of water they call a sea. It's very large. And there they were, and many times the way it's positioned there in the Galilean Sea, the wind would come through and cause it to look like a bad ocean. Waves would get high. And they were caught in a storm in the midst of the sea. But Jesus came walking on the water. Jesus came walking on their storm. And Peter said, Lord, if it is you. Some were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. That means they were very intimidated, fearful, exactly what you were talking about a while ago. But Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me, give me permission to walk with you on the water. Guess what Jesus said? Come. And Peter steps out of the boat and he starts walking on the storm. He starts walking on the thing that would intimidate any person. And when he got his eyes off the Lord, guess this, when he got his eyes off of the purpose and the whole moment, the Bible says, what happened? He sunk. He no longer had the ability to walk on the water. And there when he sunk in the waves, all of a sudden he screamed out, Shema, help. help. Guess what the Lord did? Jesus Christ picked him up. And the next thing we know it, Peter was able to walk with the Lord back into the boat. And the storm ended. I want to tell somebody today, I want to appreciate every moment to be able to walk with God. When we start walking for ourselves, we will sink. We will fail. And we will drown in our own world. Jesus is here tonight. And he wants us to know that we need to do more than just go through the wrappings, go through the presentations, but we need to learn to treasure the things of his righteousness. A while ago, in the little thing about the Shema, Hear, O Israel, about hearing and receiving, there was something that emphasized where there has to come a place in your life that you learn to treasure the things of God. You have to obey, but you obey not because the boss said to do it, but because it's good for you to do it. And I've had people that says, well, the boss is not looking. Do you know in jobs you're paid to do what you do? You're paid to obey. You're paid to comply. And in the kingdom of God, Jesus is not just my boss with a whip that is trying to whip me into shape. My Lord is trying to get us to walk with him. And what a joy it is to walk with Jesus will help you. God will take you in your life in a relationship that will be totally amazing. Something you can't do on your own. You see, not one of us deserves to be here tonight. I don't deserve. You know what grace is? Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Not one of us deserves the goodness of God and the mercies of God. It is a privilege to walk with God. And tonight, we want to just emphasize that our reception really matters and how we treasure the things of God, how powerful it is when you start learning to treasure God. And how beautiful, I've had people say, I've never heard God. I've never heard the Lord speak to me. I felt God, but I never heard the voice of God. I want to say this. God does speak to people. But the greatest voice is when you have walked with God and God has spoken to you. He may speak to people in different ways. God speaks sometimes to his word. Have you read a scripture and all of a sudden it jumped out like, oh, wow. Or somebody was preaching and all of a sudden they opened your mind to something. It's like, I never knew that. Or is it that you're praying one day and the Lord emphasizes something to you? Or I love it when I'm going down the road doing nothing other than driving behind the wheel. And the Lord all of a sudden ministers to me. And I feel the Lord's touch and something is speaking in my spirit. I'm glad today that it's more than just background noise. God has more than noise for me. Church should be more than noise. Anybody could push a button and cause a lot of noise. And we could put some background noise and sound churchy today. I could get the organ up here and say, Sister Crosswhite, come on, give me some jive and music. I could get somebody on the bass, boom, and I could get a singer up there and go, yeah. But that don't make God move. The groove will not. I want to tell you what makes God really, really touch somebody and bless somebody is when we learn to reverence him and treasure him and allow him to have his emphasis and his way in our life. What do you do with gifts? What do you do with the gift of opportunity of right now? Our children, they must be taught. They must treasure the things of God. They must be taught when you see a child begin to play maybe on the altar. This is a sacred place. You know, this is where people die and where people resurrected and where people come, not just this bench, but this whole area. This is a place that we need to learn to reverence. And let it be something that we culture, because when the next person walks in, that they find you with a sense of reverence already in action in your life. They find you not to be the one that the preacher or the pulpit leader all of a sudden has to say, come on. Let's worship God. It's almost like we're, come on, everybody, you're trying to do calisthenics or you're trying to do aerobics. Everybody stick your hand up. No, this is not a cheerleading squad. This is a house to meet God of heaven. This is a place to glean, a place to enwrap so carefully and reverently the gift of worship and understand God. I want to understand the things of His mercy today. And it must be intentional when we come to church. We must come and bless God. And let me say this. And when we come to church, it's kind of like when you go to a restaurant, we say it all the time. They ask you, is it for here or to go? I want something that'll help me tomorrow. I want to take what I have to go. And many people hear grace. They hear the voice of God. They recognize familiar truths. They become casual Christians. They assume the mercies of God. But when the Lord has liberty to work in your life and you treasure the gift, it's a beautiful thing, because deep inside of you, there's something that comes alive. Something beautiful starts happening. You see, gifts are treasured, and gifts that are not treasured are easily forgotten. But the gifts that are shamad, are treasured, will shape your life forever and help you get into that place of forever. Are you thankful for the treasure of God tonight? What do you do with gifts? What do you do with the house of God? Tonight, I want you to get this, and I want you to take it. Amen. And I want you to take it to your heart, deep inside in your life. Amen. Your tomorrow, make it a joy to live. Breathe the freshness of air with your family. Even though you have family that do not understand the things of God, that do not appreciate what you have appreciated, enjoy a sacred time and remember the reason for the season and the reason for your life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy body. I want Him to be number one. God bless you. Let's stand. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence tonight. You're the wonder of wonders. You're the mighty God, the everlasting Father. You're my Prince of Peace. God, you're holy. You're mighty in all manners. You're beautiful for situation, O God of Zion. We love you tonight. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you, God. We bless your beautiful name. We crown you tonight, God, with praise, worship, and honor. God, we're grateful unto you, and we want to bless your name. We magnify you, our King, our Shepherd, our King, our God, our Lord, our Maker, Creator, our Savior, God of heaven, God of earth and sea, and all that dwelleth therein. We adore you, we bless you, we praise you. We magnify you, Lord, with love and appreciation. Holy you are, righteous you are, wonderful you are, great you are, lovely you are, Jesus. I bless you and I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Say it in sign language. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Seal the deal. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We want to go to heaven. How?
Together.
We're glad you came tonight. Amen. Our guests, we're blessed you came. Take this with you. Grow in God. Know God in the fullness of His kingdom. You're dismissed.